All right, let's begin tonight with the best way, and that is with a word of prayer. Father, we're happy to be here tonight. We are thankful for good nights like this in which we can come together as your children, to have you in our presence here and be able to not only speak to you as we are right now, but look into your word and have you speak to us. And I pray, Lord, that you would do that tonight and by the power of your spirit, that you might give us some understanding, maybe even some insight and illumination that we did not have in the past. And we might leave here a little bit closer to you in our relationship. Just thank you for our time, and we do ask your blessing upon it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Well, tonight we are going to look at the topic of angels. Angels. And obviously the whole series is geared toward equipping us to edify one another. And I think we can be encouraging and build one another up in the faith, not only by learning things about God, not only learning things about ourselves, and not only learning things about the Word of God and the Lord Jesus, but angels actually play a pretty critical role throughout Scripture. And I think it is important that we understand at least what we can understand about angels from Scripture. So anyway, we're going to look at that, really the doctrine of angels, what God has to say on the subject of angels. And I do believe it's a critical study, but mostly because of how distorted the truth about these beings can be. Okay, there's a lot of ideas in the world concerning angels, but I think much of the information in the world in general, much of the beliefs about angels in the world and in general is incorrect. All right. And while the Bible is the original source of knowing about them and the authentic revelation of who and what these beings are, you know, through history, through man's imagination, through man's speculation, and especially through Satan's deception, angels have been imagined to be rather different than what God says and tells us about them. So we're going to look at the truth of the matter tonight. But before I do, I want to look at a few very common information, incorrect information about them. So I, of course, the best place to get incorrect information is to type something into Google. So that's what I did. And here are a few of the images that I found. When I typed in angel, okay, this is what I came up with. Oh, all right, hang on, there we go. There's an image. Now that one's kind of a warrior looking angel, female angel, warrior. It's pretty neat image there. Oh, come on. There's another one. Okay. Another angel. These were actually, I think, some of the first ones that came up when I typed in angel and looked for images. Anybody I used to have that photo in my bedroom as a child. My parents got, not a photo, but a painting. Anybody, you've seen that one before? A couple of you? Okay. Guardian angel. And then another one there. Guardian angel. But these are some of the first images that came up as I Googled angel. Along with that, I recently heard about a family that was going through a trial of sorts, And the mom said that she saw numerous angels in the hospital surrounding a baby that was in a life or death situation. And she said that one of those angels was the baby's older brother that had died several years earlier. Now, while I don't want to downplay the seriousness of the trial, I don't want to make light of it in any way, shape, or form. And I will not even doubt that I think angels could have been present. The one thing we do learn from Scripture, we'll go through this, and that is the baby's brother that had passed away was not an angel in the room, okay? And I tend to even doubt that any of these angels were visible in their angelic form in the situation. I bring that up kind of just, I guess, to stir some thinking in our mind. But I think we can go through Scripture and discern some of the reasons why what I'm telling you right now, or the view I'm giving you right now, it would be a biblical one. But perhaps even looking at the art that we have just looked at, as kind of a base for what I'm talking about here, what are some things that the world believes about angels? And I understand that as I ask that question, some of the answers you give me could be biblical ones, but I think a lot of them won't be. But my question is, what are some things that the world believes about angels in general? Janine? Okay, that when we die, we become an angel. And that kind of coincides with the story I told about the woman who claimed that the older brother of the baby was there present as an angel. And we'll talk about that. Jeff?
Well, because of our perception, it's the only thing we can relate to is they all have human form.
Okay, they have human form. Okay.
So they always get this. They can take human form, but...
Okay, and that's actually... That's good. I didn't expect to get that answer right now because anyway, that's something we'll go to too. Debbie?
They're all good.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're all good. Good observation. Good answer, but that's not the case, right? Okay. John?
That they're there to watch out over us.
Christy? Okay, I think just about every one of my photos here are female, yes. Okay, so that's very common, yeah. What else?
Wings.
Sandy? Wings, okay. And I think we'll address that one for sure. What else? Anything else come to mind? Ron? Oh, a halo. That's right. Did any of these have a halo? That one's got a spot, an aura. That one's got an aura. Oh, there's a halo. All right. All right. Very good. Anything else?
Usually dressed in white.
Dressed in white. Okay. They're attractive, right? Any other thoughts?
They're all right. On a positive mission.
They're on a positive mission. Okay. All right. And depending upon what class of angel, that will determine if they're on a positive mission or not. Elmo?
You didn't show any pictures of cherubs.
I've got lots of pictures. Well, they're not in here, actually, but...
Don't show any tonight yet.
Right.
Baby.
Ah, very good, very good. Okay, so baby angels, right? All right, that's another worldly idea of angels. Very good.
Just watched It's a Wonderful Life again last week.
Okay, all right. That's I've actually got in here someplace one of the misconceptions about angels is they don't get their wings when a bell rings. Okay? All right, but anyway, all good observations of how the world often sees angels or what they believe about them. So to start us off tonight, let me give you some common misconceptions, and what you said would be included in these. Number one, angels are often portrayed as feminine. Angels are often portrayed as feminine. Of course, I'm talking about misconceptions about angels. About 90% of the images that I found online portrayed angels as women. However, every reference in Scripture to angels is in the masculine sense. All right? Not a single one is feminine. Now, that tells us for sure that there are no girl angels, but what I want you to sense is it doesn't mean that they're man angels either. They're just made, they're spoken of in a masculine sense. So I don't think there are boy angels. I don't think there are girl angels. They're just spoken of in that masculine sense because they are powerful beings, okay? And anything powerful portrayed is typically spoken of in the masculine sense. In fact, Jesus in Matthew 22:30 said that the angels don't give and take in marriage, so there aren't male and female angels, all right? Which leads us to the second misconception, and I bring this one up only because of this image. Okay? There aren't couple angels either. there aren't couple angels. They do not give and take in marriage. And then as Elmo pointed out, another misconception is that there are baby angels. So there's a mama and I would assume a baby angel right there. In fact, here's another one. That one's very famous, right? Very famous. And then, of course, precious moments. So baby angels is a common misconception. When God created angels, He actually created, as far as we know, a set number of them. And there are a lot of them. We don't know the number, but as the number is portrayed in Scripture, it appears to be almost innumerable. They're described as 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. All right. So along with that, they do not procreate. Okay. So there are no baby angels. Another one Janine pointed out is people can become angels. Scripture is very clear that people and angels are two distinct classifications of beings. Both of them had a beginning. Both will have no end, but that is really where the likeness ends. In fact, the Scripture tells us that these two classifications of beings are the only two that God created, man and angels, and they are distinct from one another in many ways, including what we've just listed here. And then another misconception is that people have seen angels in their spirit form. Here are a couple more images of people that claim to have captured an angel in their photo. You see the bright light there, okay? And there's another one right there. They claim, and I think it's actually not that up there, but I think they're claiming that the small spot down there at the bottom is an angel. There is an image that actually gained a bit of fame back in the 90s. In fact, I even owned a copy of the image at one point in time. But it was a photo of the sky, and in the sky, someone kind of in the clouds, someone claimed to see an angel. Well, I've seen frogs in the clouds too, but that's not frogs, right? Anyway, my point here is people have seen angels in spirit form. That's a claim. Every place in Scripture that man is able to see angels is either because God has sent his ministers in the form of a man, as he did with Abraham. If you know the story of Abraham, and two angels came and visited him and actually went out to scout Sodom and Gomorrah to see what was going on there. So they come in the form of man, or God gave to man a special ability to see them. And we'll look at a few prophets in a minute to which God gave that ability. But one account is in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17. And it's Elijah and his servant. And they're talking. They're getting ready to go into battle. They're wondering how they're going to have victory. And God gave to Elijah's servant the ability to see an entire army of holy angels that God had sent to help them. Okay? So angels in spirit form are not visible by natural human means of vision. And for that reason, I don't believe that God's holy angels in spirit form have ever been captured on film. Scripture supports that. But with that, I might add that that may not be the case with fallen angels, okay, which we're going to look at, Lord willing, next week. And here is why. So let's turn to a passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11 and beginning in verse 13. And he's talking about false teachers, false apostles. He says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ." And then he continues, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." So just in bringing that up, and keep in mind, I'm talking about holy angels. We're going to talk about two classifications of them in just a minute. But when it comes to God's holy angels, I don't think that they are typically visible by humans' natural ability to see, unless God permits that, or unless they come in human form. All right. So it appears then, though, that in disobedience to God, fallen angels may appear in angelic form. In fact, there are several false religions that actually began because the initiator of that religion claimed to see a beautiful angel in angelic form who gave them a message. And that is a scary thought concerning those people who claim to have seen angels in angelic form, because they probably were not holy angels. And just to cover a few other myths, as I mentioned earlier, ringing a bell will not give an angel his wings. They do not have to earn their wings. It is irrelevant how many angels can fit on the head of a pin. Some of you heard that argument. Okay, that was like and I know it's centuries ago, but there were some theologians that decided they needed to try to figure out how many angels can fit on the head of a pin. But anyway, while I do believe that there are guardian angels, and we're going to talk about one of them in a minute, how things work exactly in that realm, Scripture gives us very little information. Couple other things about angels that I think are oftentimes misconceived, and that is they're not omnipresent, they're not all-powerful, they're not all-knowing, they do not know the future, nor is there any scriptural evidence that they can read a person's mind. Angels do not have the attributes of God, but these are all common misconceptions about them. Just as a side thought, if you would like some fictitious speculation as to how things work in the angelic realm, there's a book called This Present Darkness by Frank Peretti. And it's actually, it is fiction. It is from his imagination, but he's developed his imagination and the story based upon what we do know from Scripture about angels. And it's a very thought-provoking, fictitious story. So if you're into that sort of thing and would like to know how Frank Peretti envisions how the angelic realm works, it is a fun book. All right. But anyway, we've looked at the misconceptions of angels. The word angel, this is my second point. First point being the misconceptions. The second point, the word angel means messenger. That's really what the word means. It means messenger. And where some of the confusion over men and angels being the same might come through the fact that men can also be messengers in Scripture, and therefore the term angel is actually sometimes used of men in the Scriptures. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And I just want to give you a quick example of that. There may even, maybe someone here even knows a better one to use than this. This is one I didn't actually plan on going into, but I thought today, you know, I'm going to put this in here. Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 20 first of all. It says, "The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches." And then in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write." So as we piece this together, we learn that some symbolism that we saw a little early in chapter 1 talks about angels and lampstands, messengers and lampstands, stars and lampstands. Well, lampstands of churches, the stars or angels or messengers are probably the pastors of those churches. And then chapter 2 goes into specific brief letters written to the pastors and the congregations at these specific places. My point being that sometimes angels, that term is given to men because they too can be messengers. In fact, Jesus Christ is called a messenger and an angel, various places in Scripture. But the distinction, as you look at it, as you read context, you'll be able to tell whether we're talking about the spirit being that God created or something else. Context will determine that. All of that to say, angelic beings are a distinct group from men that were created to serve God as both messengers and ministers. They are spoken of and referenced about 108 times in the Old Testament, about 165 times in the New Testament. So they're significant. They're significant in Scripture. And therefore, being significant, I think it's good that we know what the Word of God has to say about them. Angels absolutely exist. Of course, their name means messenger. They absolutely exist. Let's go to Genesis chapter 28 now. Genesis chapter 28, just look at a passage briefly there. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 12. And this is an incident with Jacob, who would be later called Israel. But he got to see. God gave him the ability, the special ability to see angels. In Genesis chapter 28, verse 12, he said, "Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it." And here again, Jacob is given by God the ability to see them in a dream. But my point here, because we're talking about the fact that angels absolutely exist, my point here is that, as with many things in Scripture, God does not set out to prove to men that angels exist. It's an assumption that is made. It's just stated directly through assumption that they do. It's assumed throughout Scripture that they do. And the Word of God, is not only the original source of information on angels, but it's the only reliable source of information on angels. I do know. There would be no way for you and I to know what an angel is outside of the Word of God. This is the only and the original source of information about them. And as man was created to have dominion over the sphere of the earth in the tangible realm, angels were created to have dominion over the universal sphere in the heavenly realm. Let's go to this passage too, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And while the word angel is not used here directly, you will see that they are most definitely included in this passage. Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 16. It's actually a passage about Jesus and what he created. But listen to what it says. Speaking of Jesus, gives some insight into the realm of the angels. It says, "For by him," Jesus, did I give you the verse? 16 and 17? Yeah, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. I'm sorry. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Speaking of Jesus, it says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist." But as we're on the subject of angels here, what are some things that we learn in this verse that would certainly include angels?
Well, the
invisible.
Jeff, okay. They could very well be the invisible aspect of what's being spoken of here. Anything else? Okay, they were created. Absolutely. No question about it. Stated directly. Sandy?
Different classifications.
Where do you get that?
Dominions or principalities or powers.
Okay. And certainly that could speak in the physical realm or the spiritual realm, but can anybody think of another passage of scripture that could connect what we're reading here to the spiritual realm?
Romans chapter 6.
Ephesians chapter 6. All right. Okay. Thank you. That's the one I was thinking of. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 12 tells us that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So similar terminology used in Ephesians 6 that I just read in Colossians chapter 1, but in Colossians chapter 1, we learn directly that these angelic beings, these principalities, these powers, invisible, were at one time created, and they absolutely exist. Angels were created by God. All beings, whether visible or invisible, were created by Him. I will tell you there's some disagreement among Bible students as to when the angels were created. There are some students of the scriptures that believe the angels were created at some point prior to the creation of the universe. Since the starry heavens, we're told in scripture, are their abode, that's where they live. It is more likely that they were created within the creation week, the 6 days. Either way, angels were created. I will say this. This is from, I'll just give it to you. Genesis 2:1, speaking of the sixth day of creation, says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished." Host is another term that is often used of angels. So that could be speaking of that in Genesis. So angels were created by God. Angels are invisible spirit beings. We've talked about this already. They're not seen by natural means that man sees unless God permits. Angels, we learned also from Colossians and Ephesians, that they do have dominion. There seems to be an order or rank and designated areas in which some angels have charge. We'll talk a little bit more about this in a few minutes, but from cover to cover, Scripture puts forth that angels absolutely exist. They're created beings that have their abode in the heavens and have different areas of dominion. Now, there are two classes of angels that we read about in Scripture. There are God's holy angels, and there are fallen angels. Those are the two classes, holy angels and fallen angels. The holy angels serve God and man. The fallen angels serve Satan, who we will, Lord willing, learn in an upcoming class is an angel himself. We'll begin talking about it, Lord willing, next Wednesday. But I want to first look at this holy the holy angels of God. Holy angels are God's holy messengers and ministers. And I want to, let's look at another passage of scripture, Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to read to you verses 13 and 14. Yeah, 13 and 14. But I want you to note that the author of Hebrews, his point in this is to show us that Christ is higher than the angels, but was made a little lower, okay? But here's my point in this. Verse 13 and 14 says this, "But to which of the angels has he, God, ever said, 'Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'?" And then in verse 14, he says this, "Are they, the angels, not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" So holy angels are those who have been sent by God and are ministering for God by serving us, God's people. All right? That's the holy angels. And what's really neat, I think, about that, well, two things quickly. Their duty, I think, is another indication that angels were created in the same week as man. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? So it appears their main purpose is ministering to us. So anyway, their duty seems to imply they were created the same time we were. But here's the part that fascinates me. In the fact that they were sent to minister to those who will inherit salvation tells me that there could be angels right in this room with us today, sitting amongst us, right next to you, Amanda. I mean, they're here worshiping with us, rejoicing in God with us. It's a neat thing to think about, that we could have angels right in here amongst us, not necessarily enjoying, well, they're enjoying fellowship with us, but we have a bit more difficulty enjoying fellowship with them because we can't see them. They can see us. It's a little unfair. But anyway, it's a neat thing to think about. And by the way, that's one of the things that I enjoy about Frank Peretti's book, This Present Darkness, is he looks into both realms and kind of shows how that might look. All right. There are, amongst the holy angels, there are archangels. Archangels. A-R-C-H. The word simply means chief. Now, we don't know how many archangels there are, how many chief angels there are, but there appears to be more than one, but only one of them is named in Scripture, and that is the Archangel Michael, who was also called a prince in the book of Daniel, and an archangel in the book of Jude. But archangel means who is like unto God. And this kind of goes back to, as we look at the passages of Scripture that deal with Michael, he appears to be the guardian angel of Israel. Okay, so that's where the idea of guardian angels come in. Whether everybody has their own, I have no idea. We have no way of knowing right here and now. But Michael is a guardian angel. He is a chief angel over the dealings with Israel. The term archangel is only used in two places in Scripture. So we can assume it is Michael, but we are not told directly, and that's why there's some idea that there may be more than one of them. All right. There are messenger angels, which could indeed make up the majority of them because the term angel means messenger. But Gabriel is the only messenger angel named. Gabriel means the mighty one. It was he that announced that John the Baptist would be the forerunner of Christ. It was Gabriel who announced to Mary her conception by the Holy Spirit and the birth of the Savior. It was probably Gabriel who appeared to the shepherds. It was probably Gabriel who warned Joseph of Herod's evil plot to kill all babies under two, all baby boys under two. But Gabriel appears to be given some of the most important messages. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Where did you go, Daniel? Where is Daniel? I forgot. There he is. Okay. Daniel chapter 10. You're in chapter 10, but I'll just give you a little information. Earlier in Daniel chapter 8 and 9, Gabriel had appeared to Daniel and delivered to him a message. Daniel received that message, but then went on to pray about another issue of importance, and we read about that in Daniel chapter 10 and verses 10 through 13. Daniel chapter 10 and verses 10 through 13. It says, "Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, 'O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you.' While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Okay, now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the later days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come." And that's where I'll stop. My point here is, here we have Gabriel answering, or God answering the prayer, sending Gabriel with this message. And we learn some really interesting things in this passage. If you're still there and you've got it in front of you, here are some things that we learn. Daniel prayed and God sent his messenger to answer him. En route, what appears to be a fallen angel called the Prince of Persia tried to stop Gabriel from delivering this message and fought him and held him up 21 days. So then Michael came to the rescue and beat him up. And it's here that we're also told that Michael is one of the chief princes, an archangel. So there are archangels, there are messenger angels. This is probably one of the most vivid illustrations of what might be taking place in the heavenly realm. So it's neat that we get to see that. All right, so there are archangels, messenger angels. There are some referred to as cherubim. Cherubim, C-H-E-R-U-B-I-M. Let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. And let me read to you verses 5 through 10. Ezekiel chapter 1, because there's a description of a cherubim. While the word cherubim is not used in chapter 1, later in chapter 10, Ezekiel will specifically call this angel a cherubim. But here we have a description. It says, also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures, and these will later be named cherubim. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. The hands of men were under their wings on their four sides, and each of the four had four faces and wings, and their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion on the right side, and each of the four had a face of an ox on the left side, and each of the four had a face of an eagle. Now, there have been people that have tried to take this information and do kind of an artist's rendition. I don't have that for you, all right, of what this looks like. And it's kind of hard to, because there are four living creatures, and the way this is worded, he may be talking about each one of the four, or he may be talking about what one looked altogether. Here's what I do know. Here's what I do know. They didn't look up. Oh, can I have my pictures back? Like that. Okay. They didn't look like that. That's man's idea of a cherubim. We see it being very, very different here. Other places in Scripture, as we learn about cherubim and seraphim, which we're going to look at here in a minute, they are described in likenesses. All right, meaning Ezekiel, Isaiah, as he describes a seraphim, they're doing their very best to describe what they see, and all they can do is liken it to something that they know. But in reality, they're just doing their best to describe it to us through something that they know. So we really don't know. Some of the things that we do know is that they are powerful. They are apparently very beautiful, magnificent to look at. All right. And in this would be magnificent to see. So there are cherubim, there are seraphim, S-E-R-A-P-H-I-M. Isaiah chapter 6, you don't have to turn there, but Isaiah chapter 6, verses 2 through 7, describe them. That, by the way, is the only place in Scripture that the classification of seraphim is mentioned, but they have a similar description as cherubim. So it's possible that angels in general are as similar in appearance to one another as you and I are as human beings, and just have different classifications, different titles, different names. I mentioned earlier, and we're about out of time here, that even Christ is referred to as an angel. Certain places in Scripture, but again, context shows that use of the word very differently. In fact, he's called the angel of Jehovah or the angel of the Lord, and this is none other than the Son of God Himself appearing mostly the Old Testament, kind of a pre-incarnate manifestation of God in human form. And he's referred to in those cases as the angel of Jehovah. Lord willing, when we get to the doctrine of Christ, we'll spend a bit more time with that. All right, and then in closing things out here tonight, holy angels are ministers of God. And here are some of the things, and I'll just give you how they minister and then a reference, and I'll probably read the reference, but you can jot down the reference if you want that, okay? Here are some of the things they do. Number one, they do what God says. All right, the holy angels do what God says. Psalm 103 verse 20 says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word." So they do what God says. And the reference there is Psalm 103:20. They protect God's people. Psalm 91 verse 11, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." And I for one, I would love to know at some point in time in heaven, I'm sure, but all of the ways God had sent his angels to minister in my life. I can think of specific events in my life where I am personally convinced that an angel spared my life. I fell asleep on the highway one night, 75 miles an hour down the highway. I fell asleep and I woke up driving in the dirt in the median. It was between Las Vegas and St. George, and I've traveled that route lots and lots and lots of times. And where I went off the road is the only place I could have got back on safely. I mean, I woke up in the dirt. I corrected once, overcorrected once, got back up on the road. By the time I was back on the highway, I was still doing 50 miles an hour. But not a scratch on the car, never hit a bush, never hit a rock, nothing. And I'm thinking there had to be an angel in the passenger seat that says he needs to wake up, and the only way to do it is to make him go off the road, and there's the one spot that's safe. I heard, it was going up to camp years ago, the youth pastor from Southland Bible Church, they had a blowout in their church van, a whole van full, 15 kids in that van. And the pastor of the church was behind the van, and he saw the blowout happen and immediately took the van and at highway speeds whipped it one side sideways going down the highway. It never flipped. I mean, you know, a van doesn't have a very low center of gravity. Pastor's convinced there were angels. You know, so my point is, I would love to be able to see sometime the way God provided in that respect in my life, in your life. You probably have stories like that too. But they protect God's people. Thirdly, they served and refreshed Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4. "And the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." In fact, in Luke chapter 22 as well, then an angel appeared to him from heaven and strengthened him. So they served and refreshed Jesus. They reveal God's glory. They reveal God's glory. In Matthew 28, and behold, Matthew 28:2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. So he revealed that he's not in there. He's not in the tomb anymore. They reveal his glory. They praise God. Luke 2:13, Christmas story. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Revelation 4:8 says, and they do not rest day or night saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. So angels praise God. They deliver God's people to glory. In Luke 16:22, so it was that the beggar died and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. As we read about the stoning of Stephen, too, in Acts chapter 7, I think, when he died, he looked up to heaven and not only saw Jesus. Well, maybe I'm getting that wrong. Maybe he didn't see angels in that. I may be thinking of the Jacob story. All right, but anyway, there is the beggar account where we see angels carrying him. They help deliver the law. Acts 7:53. Speaking of the prophets who have received the law by the direction of the angels. So they're actually instrumental, it appears, in the giving of the word of God at times. They help deliver the law. They will announce Jesus coming for the church. That's the one we'll get to hear. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. So they will announce Christ's coming for the church. They will announce judgment upon the wicked. Revelation 8:6 says, so the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Verse 13 of Revelation 8. And I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. So they'll announce judgment upon the wicked and they will administer judgment upon the wicked. Jesus actually uses them to exercise judgment upon the earth. That's Revelation 9:15. It says, so the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. And of course, that is something we will look at probably in the month of April. We'll look at the doctrine of end times. Just do a quick brief class on that. But that is where we will end tonight. We have 3 minutes. Debbie.
I just have a comment. I think it's interesting how people will believe in angels, the good angels, but they don't believe in Satan.
Yeah, they don't believe in Satan. They don't believe in bad angels. In fact, most people who claim to channel, if they actually do encounter an entity, always believe that entity is good. Thoughts or questions, Joe?
You said at the beginning that God created two classes of beings, human beings and angels. Does that exclude the possibility of extraterrestrials, aliens? Is that just not something we're ever going to know?
I don't believe there is any biblical support for alien, intelligent alien life. Yeah. And the creation account pretty much rules that out. As we see the creation of the earth, we also see that every star, every heavenly body was created for us. It was given for us. The stars of heaven were given for the sun, moon, stars, given for seasons, for navigation, for keeping track of time. Sure. So,
well, so in the sheer size of the universe, as the way humanity thinks about it, is that's a lot of wasted space. So that's all for us, and there's nothing else in it for inhabitants.
There's no biblical reason to believe that. Yeah. Other thoughts? Yeah, Roger.
The angel who was coming to Michael had to help was delayed by 23 days.
Gabriel.
The guy was supposed to come. The angel was supposed to come help him. Was he just praying for 21 days?
No. He had prayed. You can go back and read the passage tonight. It's really interesting. Kind of read through it slow. But Daniel had prayed, and Gabriel came and told him, you know, the instant you started praying, God sent me. I came, but I was delayed en route 21 days because the prince of Persia stopped me. He stopped me, and it appears to be a battle. I was going to say a physical altercation, but you can't have physical in the spiritual world. Anyway, it was a battle, and for 21 days he was delayed until Michael the archangel came and helped him, assisted him.
So it was presumed that he was praying for 21 days then?
Well, he probably was praying for those 21 days, waiting for an answer, but Gabriel specifically tells him, on day one, I was en route. So, yeah. Sorry, I misunderstood what you were asking. Yeah, okay. Very good. Other thoughts? Questions?
What was that angel that talked, remember that blinded the mob that was, what was it?
Two angelic beings
in
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, okay. Blinded, that's right. They were, the mob coming.
They were human form.
And that's the account with Abraham, and I don't remember the chapter in Genesis now, but they came to scope out what was really going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. Jeff?
What was interesting is when he saw it then, he knew, it said that there must have been something about them, that they were so magnificent, that he instantly knew that they were, because he knelt before them and begged them to
And that's interesting too about holy angels, is every time man encounters a holy angel, whether God gives him the ability to see him in his spiritual form or whether he sees him and recognizes that he's an angel in human form, man immediately is in awe, drops to his knees, and the holy angel will stop him. In fact, even in the account in Daniel 10, as Daniel's on his knees praying and the angel appears and he trembles, the angel immediately tells him, stand up. Stand up. I'm not to be worshipped. Whereas the fallen angels, they will accept that worship.
Even the crowd, because they were trying to attack the angels.
Okay, in that case, yeah. Okay. All right. Father, thank you for our time tonight. Thank you for the illumination that we get concerning something that we can't even see. It is an exciting thing to talk about, and you do tell us in your word that that the angels are curious about us, and I think for that reason we are curious about them too. Grateful for that kind of relationship. Grateful to you that you do reveal to us a little bit about them. Thank you for tonight, and it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.